13 Days of Halloween is a production of iHeartRadio, Blumhouse Television, and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. Headphones recommended. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, friend.
Oh, forgive me. Startling you gives me such pleasure. I'm so sorry. You must have followed the smells, yes? Welcome to Hawthorne Manor's kitchen. The architect designed it after his own childhood kitchen. The cast iron cauldron was said to belong to one Martha Carrier, who was tried and executed for witchcraft some years ago, though I suspect she only used it for cooking. Ah, well. Do not mind the strange, sickly green of the fire. The wood here burns strangely. Just don't breathe too long of it. Trust me, the sleep it brings offers little in the way of rest. Please, sit. That smell. Can you describe it? That's right, you're a quiet one. Allow me. A venison stew. Onions and garlic browned at the bottom in rendered bacon fat, and then layered with fresh killed game. Added to that, green apples for bite, and yams for sweetness and heft. Dried sage and thyme from the garden. Ah, my mother's recipe. When she died, there was still a little of it left in the cauldron. I ate it slowly over the coming days. A spoonful at a time. A taste slowly slipping away until it was gone. Lost to memory. Until the first day I walked into this kitchen and smelled it. I wept. It's a trick! What you are smelling is not what I am smelling, is it? It's something that you loved, isn't it? Don't tell me. It doesn't matter, because what is in the cauldron is most assuredly not that. I think it's the fire that gives off the smells. That's why I don't trust it, nor the one who wields it. In all of my years here, I've never met our chef. Whenever I enter the room, I'm always keenly aware that someone else is just vacated suddenly. I try to assume that whoever it is has good intentions, because there is always ample food, and the poisonings have stopped. Now, my friend, I have a task for you, if you're willing. You're so compliant. Such a pleasant change of pace. Follow me. I'm going to introduce you to another of our guests who regularly requires assistance. I'm sure you'll get a full explanation. Here, give her these. You'll understand. Della, my dear, this is my good friend. He's excited to meet you, and he comes bearing gifts. I'll return shortly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have a seat. Make yourself comfortable, if you can. I must look pretty crazy, huh? A skinny old thing living up here in an empty room, no chairs for company, lights hanging everywhere, and not a drop of shade. Don't even have a blanket on the bed. Did you notice that? Blanket makes dark. So blanket had to go. You can't understand, I know, but if they had their sights on you... Oh. You ever seen those greasy stains that show up out of nowhere sometimes? On the wall or ceiling? Sometimes they're soaked into the carpet or your mattress? I used to think that they were just sweat stains, but now I know better. They're what gets left behind when they sink back through into the dark. The residue of whatever or whoever they took with them. I think it's the pressure, the physical pressure of being squeezed right through into another dimension. Does the same thing to a human body that a juicer does to an orange. Just wrings the grease and oil right out of your skin and then... You're gone. That oily stain is all that's left. Or that's my theory on it, at least. I thought I had more time, but they just started popping. That one light over there in the corner, you see it? That one shattered first. Just... The main fluorescent in the kitchenette went a few minutes after that, and I figured I was looking at trouble. I've been keeping them at bay for so long now. But if they figured out how to blow the bulbs... Well, I'm lucky you arrived. Really, I am. I'm grateful. There's still light in here, for now. But if I leave to get more bulbs on my own, just too risky for me. Too many shadows. Too many places where they can grab on. But they haven't attached themselves to you yet, right? They haven't, have they? No. But having you in here for too long really isn't a good idea. The longer you're in here, the more likely they are to notice you, and then... But anyway, they haven't seen you yet. You can still go out and do whatever you want. In the night, in the dark, without them sinking their bony little spurs into you. Why are you here again? Right. The light. You've brought me more light. That's right. You're an angel. You don't know how grateful I am, really. Do you happen to know how fresh these are? I could swear the caretaker has been purposefully fetching me bulbs that go out immediately. Some of them even burn out before I'm even done screwing them in. I wonder about him sometimes. Have you ever noticed anything about his... Jesus. Sorry. I'm doing that thing again. I don't see people very often, you know, and I'm not really used to conversation. I could be nervous, but I think that it feels this way all the time. I don't feel like I'm nervous. Probably would help if I slept better. But hard to sleep with all the lights, you know? I mean, look at this place. Like a football stadium in here, right? How many lights do you think I have? There's 42 of them. Varying watts. Well, there's 37 now. 34. No matter. As long as the big floodlights stay on, I should be okay for a while. I bet you've seen their leftovers before and didn't even know what you were looking at. Probably just wrote it right off, right? And sometimes they leave more than just the stains behind, too. When they took my husband, Joseph, back in our old house, they took him right through the mattress. I remember we were going through a heat wave, and I was sleeping on top of the covers, but Joseph never could. I woke up in the middle of the night. As I felt the bed shift, like a weight had suddenly lifted right off the box spring, and Joseph was just gone. Skin slick discoloring his side of the bed, and all the man-made parts of him just laying there in the indentation his body left behind. One full set of false teeth and three metal pins, like they were too corporeal for wherever he was going. I thought after that, they'd be done. But that's not how they work. When they see you, when they really take notice of you, they come for you too, in the dark. They saw me when they came after my husband. And they've been coming ever since. Joseph said he picked it up at work, like a flu or something, a virus. I didn't know what he meant, but right away, he started acting different. Funny little anxieties that turned a corner out of nowhere and transformed into full-blown paranoia. You want to know the first thing he did? He bought a nightlight. A little kid's nightlight shaped like some sort of cartoon character. I don't even know who it was supposed to be. We never had kids, and I wasn't on to date on it. It doesn't matter. The point is, he started sleeping with that thing on, lighting up our bedroom. It didn't bother me at first, but after about a week, I woke up in the middle of the night to go pee, and I found him there, curled up on the floor, nestled up against the wall in the glow of that nightlight. And it just got worse from there. He
he insisted on sleeping with all the overhead lights on, too. Kept the closet doors open all the time, taped the windows up to get the nighttime out. I thought he was crazy. I really did. Problem was, he wasn't crazy enough. He didn't think things through. He kept all the lights on, sure, but light makes shadow, and they can travel even in that. Doesn't matter what kind of dark it is. If it's dark, they'll come. That's how they get you. They wear you down, wait for you to slip up, and leave some blackness for them to hide in. Behind closed doors. Under blankets. In your shoes. When they first came for me, I didn't know what I was hearing. A scraping like fingernails on a window pane. It was quiet at first. So quiet and slow that I wasn't even sure I was really hearing it. And then it got louder. Their, I guess you'd call them fingertips. They're sharp and hollow, like birds' bones. They sound brittle, like they'll snap right off if they scratch too hard. But they never do snap right off. And once you felt them, their cold grasp, it's like clammy flesh pulled tight over glass shards. Like somebody spilled orange juice on a stretched leather hide and didn't bother to clean it up before it dried sticky to the surface. But it's colder than that. And meaner. Those glass bird bone fingers are vice as strong. And the teeth, serrated and hollow and cold all at the same time. You see this mark? It happened about a week after they took Joseph. Took until Joseph was gone before I believed any of what he had been spouting off about. But after I did everything he did, kept the lights on, kept the windows taped over, but still, I was too careless. I hadn't yet learned from my husband's mistakes. I had a raised bed, wore comfortable clothes. I used to like wearing hats. I thought they suited me. I looked pretty in them.
Just the thought now of a hat. That much dark space between the fabric and my head. My head, of all things. I can't believe I was ever that reckless. I think they probably came in through the silverware drawer, slid down under the kitchen sink, crept through cast shadows until they dragged their sharp, damp bodies into my bedroom, scraping against the surfaces they couldn't be seen in. The lights were on. I thought it was safe, but I hid underneath my blanket at the time. Should have learned my lesson from Joseph, but I surely didn't. And one of them met me there. I couldn't quite see it. It was too dark under the thickness of the comforter, and the tears were clouding my vision, but I can tell you, there was something reminiscently human about it. Not quite, maybe it was more, what'd you call it? Mammalian? Like crinkled paper, flesh, and clumps of coarse hair. The hazy memory of a creature from a campfire story you were told as a child, dead and alive at the same time, and desperate, hungry. Somehow scraped up the foresight to kick the blanket off of me. And the thing in the dark went with the blanket. But it left me this scar. A reminder for both of us. For me, a reminder of what's always there, hiding. For the thing in the dark, the scar is a reminder of my taste, so it can follow me. I had to leave our home, where my husband and I lived together for 3 decades, to get away from all the nooks and crannies that come with a house like ours. You can't keep it all lit up all the time. It's not possible. But here, it's just one room. Manageable. But I'm tired now. All the time. I'm just so, so tired. Down to 27. You been keeping count? That's 15 lights in the past half hour. At this rate, they're popping faster than I can screw them in. All right. Go on. Get out of here. Scoot. I gotta get these bulbs changed while I still can, and I've kept you here too long already. They've noticed you by now. Ain't no way around that. I'm sorry about that. Oh.
was one of the big security floods. Only have two. Guess I'm probably no better than a set of false teeth and a grease streak at this point. But still, I made it this far. There's still a chance with what you've brought me here, but wait. Before you go, I need you to listen to me for one more minute, okay? You're listening? Good. This is important. You need to go out. Go right now. And buy all the lights you can. Set them up in your room. Hang them from the ceiling. Prop them up on the floor. Put them all over. Then strip everything down and keep out the dark. Be meticulous about it. More than you think you have to be. Because it will be worse than you think it is. You hear me? They're clever, nasty, death-like things. Every one of them. And they are coming for you. And they're going to find a way to get you. There. In the dark.
Done so soon?
Yes, well, don't worry about running out to the store. I'm afraid you wouldn't find one. We will replenish Della's supply from our own stocks, which are plentiful. My friend, you look positively piqued. But don't worry. We'll make sure your room is also well lit, should you find it necessary. Della is right about one thing. You'd do well to mind the shadows in Hawthorne Manor. Most are friendly, but a handful of them are decidedly not. A question, though. Did you discuss at all the door we spoke of yesterday? Did it come up in the course of conversation? Worry not. We still have plenty of time. My friend, I am afraid that I must take my leave of you. A caretaker's job is never complete in a place so complicated. Meet me tomorrow in the garden, yes? Rest well tonight. And do yourself a favor. Sleep with a light on. I have so much to show you.
Thirteen Days of Halloween was created by Matt Frederick and Alex Williams and executive produced by Aaron Mankey, starring Keegan-Michael Key as the caretaker. Today's story was written by Zoe Cooper, performed by Gina Rakiki, and directed by Matt Frederick, with editing and sound design by Josh Thane. Additional writing and script supervision from Nicholas Tikoski. Casting by Jessica Luza. Only 11 days remain. Tomorrow, another story.
I watched a single drop of red appear in its center. I stared at it, the bright crimson dot in a sea of pure white batter. It was blood. My blood. I didn't have another mix. I had no fun facts. I had nothing else to offer. I only had cupcakes.
13 Days of Halloween is a production of iHeartRadio, Blumhouse Television, and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And learn more about 13 Days of Halloween at grimandmild.com.